Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
This Nasheed, I love this Nasheed. 4 minutes after 11, Central African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Beautiful, beautiful Nasheed there from our beloved engineer, none other than Brother Tobella. How are you, my beloved listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and my beloved beautiful listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Company. I just love it, Nasheed. Siddiqi ki beti Siddiqa. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I see my beloved Fadilatul Ustad, the smile on his Mubarak face. Let's welcome once again all our beloved listeners, the 27th of Muharram, 1442. Fadilatul Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan wa arafat. Barakallahu fiik.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that they need some advice from you. Mufti Sahab, my son passed away. Can my daughter-in-law and her two little boys live with me? Being her, I am the father-in-law. People are saying it's haram. Where will she go? Your answer, please. Anonymous father, Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, any point we want to discuss, then our first reference will be the Noble Quran, then the Ahadith Mubarakah, and then the Fatawa and the verdicts of the Sahaba radiallahu anh, and then the four schools of thought. So when we study and read the Noble Quran, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, chapter 4, regarding the women, verse 23, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala states, وَحَلَائِلُ أَبْنَائِكُمُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِكُمْ, and your daughter-in-laws, who are they, the wives of your biological sons. So you, the father-in-law, cannot marry the daughter-in-law. You are forever her mahram. And you can travel with her, she can travel with you. So all this is clearly, explicitly mentioned in the Noble Quran. Similarly, for me, as the son-in-law, my mother-in-law becomes haram for me perpetually, and I become her mahram. Wa ummahatu nisaikum, and the mothers of your wives. So both ways it is, the son-in-law will be haram for his mother-in-law, and he will be his mother-in-law. Law's mahram, and the father-in-law will be the mahram for his daughter-in-law. So this is all mentioned clearly in the Noble Quran. So that's the first point. Second point, for people just to make noise and say this is haram, haram. So people, 90% of them don't understand Sharia. They just look at their own emotions and so forth. So therefore, that's a major, major sin. هذا حلال وهذا حرام لتفتروا على الله الكذب, that they say this is halal or they say this is haram, but it is based on their own figment of their imagination. And they are fabricating, inventing lies against Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ, that those people who are fabricating, inventing lies against Almighty Allah, they will never be successful. Surah 16, Surah Nahl, the B, verse 116. So very easy reference, chapter 16, verse 116. Third one, now your son passed away, Allah Jalla Wala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. You as the father, you as the parents, you should be reading Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. You the grandfather, you should be teaching your grandchildren children, that, oh you, my beloved grandchildren, you should be reading this dua for your beloved father who passed away. Now we our advice to you, and thus you need to be honest. Now it's you, I don't know about your wife, is she there or she passed away or what's the story, but let's just say it's you, your daughter-in-law and two small children. Can you live together in that same house? Yes, from fatwa point of view, verdict point of view, it's totally permissible and there's no problem with that. Second one is this, that if there's fear of fitna, that you're going to exploit the situation, take advantage of the daughter-in-law, then obviously it won't be acceptable. Then either you move out or either she moves out. So that is based on the fitna that can occur and so forth. I just give you two examples. Tuesday nights, I have tafsir, yeah, in the Jami Masjid, the commentary of the Noble Quran. And thereafter, we have Q&A. So many brothers from India also, they are there. So I speak a little bit in English, then some in Urdu. So the brother asked me, can he shake hand with his daughter-in-law? So he said he has three daughter-in-law. So I said, yes, to shake hand is fine. So he said, "Phir inko chumna peshani par kaisa?" Then he said, "To kiss them on their forehead, how's that?" So I said, "No. Usse se ihtiyat karna behtar hai. You must abstain and refrain from that. So that is the best. Because too much fitna nowadays." He said, "Nay, lekin meri ghalat niyat nahi. So I don't have bad motives and intentions." I said, "You don't have. It's fine. But remember, people think many a time they are old, but they are not cold, you know. So one thing can lead to another. You start kissing here, kissing there, and all these type of things. So remember that that can lead to shahwat and desire, and then there'll be serious ramifications and consequences. So therefore, you should remember this type of thing. Today, this morning, 80-year-old lady asked me very similar thing. She said that, what about she and her jamai? What about she and her son-in-law? So you must remember, can she shake hand with her son-in-law? Can she hug? She used the word hug. You know, I even smiled. So an 80-year-old lady asking, can she hug her son-in-law? Jamai ne hug karwanu came che. So you must remember to hug the son-in-law. So I said, Kala, they don't hug and all that, I handurabad you. They leave all these things. Most of us just shake hands, because this zamana is samana of fitna and all these type of things here. So therefore, she said, best thing, I don't even shake hands. I said, yes, that's best. So anyway, so for you, you be the judge. You must remember that. If there's no hanky-panky business, then she can stay there, you stay there, the two ma'asum children stay there. If there's fear of hanky-panky business, then either you move out and let them live there. So that will be my advice to all parties concerned.
His wife is still alive, Ustaz.
So if your wife is all alive, then it's fine. So you, your wife, your daughter-in-law, the two children. So mashallah, you'll all live together. So all, may Allah make it easy. And don't listen to the ignorant Moses, you know, the ignorant people, they just confuse issues. They'll tell you haram, haram. They don't even know whether they're coming or going in life, you know.
Please, my beloved brothers and sisters, make dua for me, because the man whom I had put all my love, trust and hope on just decided to end our relationship, which is draining me so much. Dear Mufti Saab, I love this man for the sake of Allah, with my everything, but he decided to listen to other people and end what we built together. I'm so hurt. Because he's not even in the country. He's gone back to India. And there are kids involved, Mufti Saab. She put three crying faces. I don't know what to do at all. Because I still love him. Please help me. Anonymous sister, Ustad.
I don't really understand this question, the words you used. Number one, you say, our relationship. What do you mean by that? Was there a nikah or wasn't there a nikah? If there's a nikah And remember, now he's gone back to India and he left you. So you must remember, then obviously he's the zalim, he's the oppressor, transgressor, and so forth and so on. So you must go to your ulama, go to your jamiat, whoever you got confidence in, and go apply for a fasakh. And that is annulment of marriage. He's gone, he used you, and so forth. And maybe he took some of your money also, but Allah knows best. So in a case like that, the chances of him coming back, remember, are almost zero. Maybe he's already got a wife there in India. So you must go and apply for a fasakh and annulment. Second scenario, I'm answering as the question was posed. And you say our relationship. So relationship can mean boyfriend, girlfriend, that you just lived in as lovers, you know, and then you made three haram children. So then you are guilty as well, not only he. And both of you should be punished 100 lashes in public, Quran says. Surah 24, Surah Nur and verse 2. وَزَانِيَةُ وَزَانِي فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِيَةَ جَلْدًا. Quran says you must give them 100 lashes in public and don't show them mercy and compassion. So that is what Quran is showing, teaching us clearly, explicitly. So sister, you must clarify, what do you really mean by the relationship? That if it was nikah and you gave everything, so remember Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will give you something better. If your intention was sincere, if you were really a saliha and a taqiyya, then Almighty Allah always gives us motivation, inspiration. Life is one big test. You get vicissitudes, the ups and downs, unch or niche. So all that goes, I'm speaking to you certain words in Urdu, because you will not understand vicissitudes and so forth maybe. So Quran Kareem teaches us, إِيَّعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا. When there's goodness in your heart, you got Iman, you got Islam, you got sincerity, يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا أُخِذَ مِنْكُمْ. Allah Jalla Wala will give you something better compared to that which was taken away from you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. And Almighty Allah will forgive you your sins. Surah number Anfal, Surah Anfal, chapter number 8 and verse 50. Very easy to remember. Chapter 8 and verse 70. So you must remember, there Almighty Allah is telling us, you were sincere. You say you gave your all in the marriage. Then he just decided to leave you. He got a way of leaving and the plane took him. How he left Saudi Africa or all that, maybe he went, you understand, that he said that he's got to go back to India. Like that, there are these repatriation flights going up and down. So he took that plane and he's gone, and now he left you. So if that is the case, first you have to take fasakh, annulment, then iddat, and remember, beg Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, you said in chapter 8, verse 70, you will give something better compared to that that's taken away, so Allah will give you something better, inshallah.
The sister says, Ustad, that she says, yeah, to be honest, Mufti Saab, to open the can of worms, yes, we are married, he used me, and today I heard that he used me for papers, Ustad.
Yes, that's why we always tell you, you must remember, when you marry foreigners, whether they come from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, or they come from Egypt, Morocco, Somalia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, wherever, you need to be extra, extra careful and circumspect. That are this person's papers are in order, one. Two, does he have a wife in the country where he is? Third one, do you know his family? Some of them will get married to you, you don't even know his background, whether he's a Shia, whether he's a Qadiani, whether he's a Aga Khani, they're not even Muslim. So, and you are now saying that you are married to him, sleeping with him, making children with him. So imagine the children are harami children, because this type of nikah is not even valid. So many different things you need to look at. So therefore, for the past 20 years, we are warning you regarding this issue. Because once democracy came to South Africa in 1994, so the people found South Africa, they found an easy way, because corruption is rife and rampant. So now they said, let us get married and so forth, and we will have a good time once we get our papers, our ID, our passport, and then they'll just move on from here. So they use this as a transit point and so forth. So remember, so you are going to pay a heavy price for all that. So anyway, sister, we can't change all that now. So at least Allah shukr that there was a nikah involved. So go and go for fasakh and annulment of marriage, and then you carry on with your life. Wa iyatafarraqa yughnillahu kullam min saati. When divorce, when fasakh takes place, Quran Kareem states, now you are separated from one another, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will make both of you independent from one another. And then you must see, maybe you got family members here or whatever, so inshallah they can assist you regarding the expenses of the children. And remember, Allah Ta'ala to sab ke liye hai. So Allah Ta'ala is for everybody. So Allah said in Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 130, that Almighty Allah will keep you independent. You don't worry about Him. For Him, you must say, out of sight, out of mind, and go. So finish. It was a bitter lesson. Isko Urdu mein hum kehte hai, ek bahut talakh tajruba tha. So that's the word you will use. Ye ek talakh tajruba tha. A very, very bitter experience. But that is the reality of life. And remember, place your trust in Almighty Allah. And we all make mistakes in life. So Allah Ta'ala make it such. We learn from our mistakes. Fa'tabiru ya ulil absar. Oh people of vision, of sight, insight and foresight, take heed. Chapter 59, verse 3.
I love that verse, Ustad. A listener says, they say that honeymoon should be spent in a hotel, Ustad. Your first night. There's a hadith where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you should travel out for your first night. Anonymous brother, Ustad.
Where's that hadith? You must show us the chain of transmission. You must show us, you must remember which book it is mentioned in the commentary and in the introduction and muqaddama of Sahih Muslim. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah statement comes, lawla al-isnad laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. If there's no chain of transmission, then any person will make statements regarding anything. To attribute this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you go straight to Jahannam. That is hadith. Bukhari Sharif, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Ibn Majah, Musnad Ahmad. I gave you seven references now. The hadith is mutawatir, meaning it's mentioned in so many books, there's absolutely no doubt in it. And if a person rejects this hadith, he himself goes straight to Jahannam. Allah forbid. What is the hadith? Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan, who lies against me deliberately, you are getting married. Now you want to go to ABC hotel, you want to go to XYZ hotel, so you get somebody to concoct and fabricate some hadith, you attribute it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maqadahu minan nar. Go and reserve your seat in Jahannam already now. Our deen is complete. They can't have this. Now I'm asking you, brother, three questions. That now you're going to go to a hotel, 5-star, 4-star hotel. Do you think Nabi alayhi salam will tell you to go to a place where alcohol is being served and we're moving and running around like water there? I'm asking you. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fala yajlis ala ma'idatin tudaru alayha al-khamr. Hadith in Tirmidhi, authentic. Whosoever believes in Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and the last day must not even frequent and go to the place where alcohol is served. And you want to stay there 1-2 nights and you're calling it honeymoon? 1. 2. You must remember that you know in the hotels and these type of things what happens. People take their girlfriends, people take their mistresses and they use them and then they do everything there. So why you want to imitate the fasiqeen and fasiqat, the people who go take prostitutes there, they take their, you know, street ladies there. So why you want to take your wife there? من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. So you must remember that whoever imitates the people is part and parcel of them.
حق.
So hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood and Musnad Ahmad, authentic one. Third one, why not you take your wife to your matrimonial home and there you're going to practice on the Sunnah and Nabawiyah. That is how we're going to start our new phase of life, our new stage in life. Wife, it's your first marriage, it's my first marriage, come. It's a new foundation, a new phase and stage in our life. So both of us going to read Salat. I, the husband, will be the Imam and I'll render the Iqamat and you will be behind me, not on the side, behind me. And we read Salat in Jamaat, in congregation. The Hadith in Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba. Second one, then you husband, you give a gift to your wife. Whether it is milk, whether it's chocolate, whether it's money, whether it's jewelry, whatever you want to give, provided that is halal. The hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Third one, that you take water and you sprinkle on your wife's forehead and you read, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma fiha wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha. Ya Allah, this Fatima, Zainab, Jamila, Aisha, whatever your wife's name, Zinat, whatever. So remember that, Ya Allah, whatever goodness she has, let her share it. And whatever weaknesses she has, protect her and protect me. She will take water and then on your forehead, and remember Nasiya, we call, where your forehead and where your hair starts growing. She then sprinkles water and read the same dua. And remember the hadith in Musannaf Abdul Razak. Then you make dua together. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh beloved Allah, grant us such spouses, grant us such progeny and children. Qurrata ayun, that are the coolness of the eyes. Chapter 25, verse 74. And before you go and sleep, before you become intimate with one another, you read the dua mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Before we eat, Bismillah. Before we drink, Bismillah. Before we sleep, Bismillah. Before you go husband-wife relationship, Bismillah. Anything permissible, so you Bismillah. Channibna shaitan, put the shaitan far, far away from us. Don't let him bring his waswasa and whisperings, nor to the husband, nor to the wife. Wajannibi shaitan marzaktana, and put the shaitan far, far away from the children you are going to bless us with. You show me, will you do this in the hotel or you do it in the house? Where is better? I'm asking you. And what about the bill you'll have to pay, and the breakfast and the meals? Who got guarantee what is served there is halal? Half the things served there are haram. That halal certificates also not worth the paper on which is written. So see, you became the brother of shaitan already on your wedding night. 1,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000 you have to spend on that 1-2 nights. Quran Kareem states, Innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. The people who went to squander their wealth, they became the brothers of shaitan. Chapter 17, verse 27. After all this I gave you from Quran and Hadith, you still go? That we can't help anything. وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ. We give you advice, Quran says, but you don't like the advice. You like to become Abdul Shaitan instead of Abdullah. So we gave you advice and still you say, no, I will do what I want to do. So you must remember that we must become Abdullah, the slave of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, the slave of Rahman and not the slave of Shaitan. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, messengers used to give advice to the people and tell them, wa nasahtu lakum, I gave you advice, walakin la tuhibbuna an-nasihin. And this is the story of Nabi Salih alayhi salam. salatu salam, O people, I told you, I gave you advice, but you still don't listen to me, and you still went, and you slaughtered, and you hamstrung the she-camel, and then Allah's punishment came. So that is our advice to you, and Almighty Allah verse mentions this verse in chapter 7, Surah A'raf, verse 79. So that is our answer to you, brother.
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. MashaAllah, Ustad. Dear Honorable Mufti Saab, is it permissible for a learned man who is separated from his wife, not divorced, Ustad, chats with woman, playing on the emotions and vulnerability? He says the Quran don't say about ghair mahram. Please enlighten. Shukran, Ustad.
How can he be a learned person and he makes statements like that? For him, remember, we fear when Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi and them were asked questions and people make these kind of statements. I'm saying if he really made that statement, then we say Nakhsha alayhi al-kufr. We fear that he will end up with kufr and he will leave the fold of Islam. What is the meaning of these verses? I'm giving you three verses here. Quran Kareem teaches us. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not even go near fornication and adultery. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. It is something obscene. It is something indecent. It is something that is unacceptable. Almighty Allah has mentioned it, enshrined in the noble Quran. Islam wants we must be pure, and Islam wants we must be chaste. Not that we go do haram and then we start trying to look for justification and loopholes and so forth. So now Surah 17, Surah Bani Israel and verse number 32. Chapter 17, verse 32. Number 2. Since when we can go and play with other people's emotions, flirt with somebody else's daughter, somebody else's sister? If somebody does that to your daughter, your sister, your wife, you will like all that. So obviously you will want to pull out the gun and you want to shoot the person, but for yourself you justify it. Just like the Kuffar Shia, they love to make their muta and prostitution with others, but for themselves you must remember, no, that they don't like. So that's what you are doing. They're trying to justify it. So remember, Quran Kareem states, Wala muttakhizina akhdan. And that is, in Islam, you're not allowed to take boyfriend, you're not allowed to take girlfriend. So what is the meaning of that? It means you can't flirt with them, you can't go and say, no, I'm just having a platonic relationship. The kuffar, they are masters, you must remember, with terms. They will say, no, it is just, you must remember, a platonic relationship. We're just talking. It's a cyber affair. So we're just sending emails. We're just sending WhatsApp. And we're not touching one another. We're not, you know, fiddling with one another. So all that totally haram. Surah 4. And that is Surah Nisa. And verse number 1, verse number 25. Surah 4, verse 25. Do not take wala muttakhidati akhdan. You the man, you can't take girlfriend, and you the woman, you can't take boyfriend. Almighty Allah mentioned this both ways, so that it must be clear to both parties that you can't be looking for loopholes and so forth. Then remember, you got a wife, brother. And why you left your wife? Maybe that is why your wife told you, you better get out. You're not being chaste, you're not being pure and so forth. And they say you're a learned man. So Allah alone knows what they mean by learned. You understood? Did not Allah say in chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse 100, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ. The khabith, the impure and the immoral, the women who are answering you, oh, you're very handsome, and I love talking to you, and you got such a sweet voice, and all that shaitaniyat. وَالطَيِّبُ, and the pure, that is, your wife is pure. So it can never be equal, the impure and the pure. وَلَوْ أَعَجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. Although the abundance of impurity, it impresses you. You say, but this is very good. Today I can chat with this woman. Tomorrow I can chat with this one. Yesterday you were busy with another one. So all this impresses you, but Allah disgraces. Fattakullah. Fear Almighty Allah. Ya ulil albab. That, oh you people of intelligence, la'allakum tuflihun, so that you are successful. So remember, this is chapter 5, verse 100. And last verse, if you are a half, you're a Mawlana, you're a Sheikh, you're an Imam, brother, you should be knowing the next verse. وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. When Almighty Allah humiliates a person, look at the rulers today. Look at the prime ministers, president, kings and rulers today. How humiliated they are. Absolutely disgraced in the world. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. And none can give them honor. So this is Quran chapter 22, Surah Hajj and verse number 18. So my brother, don't play with Sharia. You might die a non-Muslim, then everlasting doom and gloom. Allah protect us all.
Ameen, 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 tum, ameen. 26 minutes to 12. I see Harari wants the podcast and Swaziland. Let's go for an interval. When we come back, we will inshallah continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
24 minutes to 12, you are tuning in listening to The Bliss of Marriage. A listener says here, Ustad, that when will the month of Safar start, Ustad?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Today, yeah, we are on the 27th of Muharram. So that will be 28th Thursday, Friday 29th, and after Maghrib, after sunset, remember it is 29 hours, the moon and the crescent. So Friday evening, we should all scan the sky, and inshallah, the chances are very, very good, inshallah al-Aziz. Yeah, in Gauteng and so forth, you see, it's more than 29 hours, few minutes. So inshallah, somewhere it will be sighted, whether in Cape Town or whether, yeah, in Gauteng or somewhere there, you must remember in the tell. Or otherwise, our brother there in Northern Cape, he will see it, you must remember that. Khobles Wop. So you will... Hopeless hope is always there, so you must remember. So inshallah, somewhere and somewhere the moon will be sighted, and then Friday night and Saturday will be the first of Safar. And always remember this, what Rahmatul Alameen Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and what did the Master alayhi salam said, a hadith in Bukhari Sharif, La Safara. First of all, understand the words. Our people just confuse everything and blow their fuses. I'm going on a journey from here to Durban, here to Cape Town. For example, I'm giving, you call that Safar, Safar with a seen. And the month is called Safar with a sword. So don't confuse the issues. Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La Safara. There is no bad luck. There is no superstition in the month of Safar. Some people say you can't get married in Safar. Some people say you can't travel in Safar. Some people say that the 13th of Safar is a bad luck day. All that, Rahmatul Alameen, chapter 21, Surah Anbiya, verse 107, he, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was and is and will always be the only Rahmatul Alameen, the mercy to the entire universe and creation. So he, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to demolish and abolish all this type of pagan beliefs. So there's no place for that in Islam. So you, my Kala, my auntie and Masi and Opa and Oma and all, take all these ideas out. When our forefathers came from India 150, 160 years ago, they brought one kitab with them. And that kitab was called Lal Kitab. Lal Kitab got a lot of fairy tales and fabrication and lies in it. So one of the lies is this. Safar no maina, the bo musibat no maina che. So this month of Safar is a very bad luck month. So all this, Islam don't believe in. Islam demolished it, abolished it. So we must say, we reject it totally.
You got a listener here, Ustad. He says that, with due respect, I was told to listen to your program. My name is Abul Hassan Al-Ali from Pretoria. And I was told that you always advise me, telling the listeners that there is such a thing as muta'a. I mean, yesterday I spoke to one Shia, and he says there is no such thing as muta. I'm speaking about current. So he says here, Jib Dalil, and please do not become emotional. This is Abul Hassan Al-Ali. Could you please give us proof? We're not speaking of the past, we're speaking of current. Such a thing as muta. Ustad.
Okay, my brother Abul Hassan Ali, we speak of current. I tell you, Khomeini wrote in his kitab, and you must remember, nothing emotional, brother. And the book's name is Tawdihul Masail, which I have by me. And they gave it to me, the Iranians gave it to me. And in there, the Shias, Khomeini, the Kafirs, that is what Khomeini is. He and the Shias are 100% kuffar. He wrote, you can make mut'a for 1 hour. So what you say about that now, we're speaking of current, what Khomeini wrote, what they say there in Iran, and what they say in Iraq, and so forth. What you say now, you wanted Dalil, you wanted the book, I've got the book by me, I can show it to you in black and white, it's not our propaganda, it's what they gave me. So that is my question to the Iranians, to the Iraqis, to the Shias, and all these organizations in South Africa and the whole world, Africa and the world, who are sympathetic to the Shias. So you must remember that. What do you say if a person says you can sleep with somebody's daughter, sister for 1 hour? Is that prostitution or not? And what do you say of a person who's promoting prostitution? And what do you say of those people who are silent on this issue because they're collecting money from the sympathizers of the Shias or from the Iranians or Iraqis or whoever? What will you say? I'm asking you. So you give. Now I answered my part. You have to answer. One. You can say, yes, this, I'm asking you, brother, BBC got nothing to do with Islam. They write things whatever they want to. Go to the BBC documentaries. They send a hidden journalist with a hidden camera, undercover journalist, they call them, with a hidden camera. He went to Iraq now, this year. This year, last year, whenever. So, but it's current. So you must remember, and they said, we want to investigate this muta, temporary message. So you must remember that. So when they went, so everything is there, and the Iraqi government, Shia government, even protested and objected, but everything is out. So you must remember in the open, remember that your usulul kafi, that your books on it, write about it, and it's integral part of the belief of the Shia system about Mut'a. And there are ayatullahs are involved in it, and they get a share from it, that they want to make money out of this, brother. So don't come with fairy tales and stories from your side, brother. And Shias are 100% kuffar. And you can quote me anywhere. Why they kuffar? Any person who swears and curses Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha is 100% kuffar. Number two, any person who rejects all the ahadith and majority hadith. Shias will only use the ahadith of Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Ibn Majah, Musnad Ahmad, all, when it suits their whims and fancies. The remainder of hadith, Sayyidina Ali's hadith is mentioned, in Tirmidhi, Muta is haram, they reject it. So you must remember that, nothing emotional, brother. We speak with Dalil, we don't speak from our thumb. Shias, they speak from the thumb. They will tell you, my brother, you must speak of unity. Israel is the enemy. We say you and Israel are the same. Who is? You want current? I give you current. You must remember who is the founder of Shiaism. You, brother Abul Hassan, who's the founder of Shiaism? Go read your own book, Rijalul Kashi. In there it's written, you must remember, Abdullah bin Sabah. And Abdullah bin Sabah was a Jew. Therefore, in my lectures, I say that you take a 2 rand coin, 5 rand coin, one side you put Jews, one side you put Iran, and they both the same. Why Israel don't attack Iran? Why Iran don't attack Israel? Iran is like us, Iran is like us. And Iran will say, Israel is like us. But it's not attacking. All saber rattling. So you must remember that. Why? So they both together enemies of Islam. One is the external enemy and one is the internal enemy. If you understand Arabic and you know Arabic, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah wrote the whole book, Minhajul Sunnah. And in his Fatawa Kitab, he wrote about the Shia, that the Shias are worse than the Jews and Christians as far as their animosity, enmity goes for us, the Ahlul Sunnah. So I'm asking you questions. Why in Iran, current we're speaking, brother, why in Iran currently, in Tehran, there is no Sunni masjid? Why? I'm asking you, in the capital, Tehran, there's no Sunni masjid. Other places they got, but not in Tehran. So if you want current, they give you current. So till now, they promote the muta prostitution. And prostitution is part of Shiaism, whether you like it or not. Your Khomeini promoted it for 1 hour. So what you have to say? So that's why on that ground we say Shia is a kuffar and Khomeini is kafir. Mm. So you must remember that. What you say now, you gave me the books. Who murdered Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anh? You want to go on? It's Muharram. Who murdered Sayyidina Hussein? Go study Irshad of Sheikh Mufid. Sayyidina Hussein picked up his hands. Rafa ayadei wa da'a ala shi'atihi. He cursed the Shias before his martyrdom in Karbala in Maidan-e-Tufuf. I went there also, brother. I've been to Iran, I've been to Iraq. And remember Sayyidina Hussein's son. And that is what you call Imam Zainul Abidin. We say Sayyidina Zainul Abidin. Al-Ihtijaj of Tabarasi. He says, Sayyidina Hussein's son, Hazrat Zainul Abidin, أَخَلْتُمُ الْأَهَدَ وَالْمِيثَاقِ. You took the pledge from my father. ثُمَّ تَرَكْتُمُوهُ وَخَذَلْتُمُوهُ. And then you left my father. And then you martyred and murdered him. Tomorrow, how will you face Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? بِأَيِّ أَيْنٍ تَنْذُرُونَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? وَهُوَ يَقُولُ لَكُمْ. And he will tell you, قَاتَلْتُمْ إِتْرَ. You murdered my family, my grandson. وَانْتَهَكْتُمْ حُرْمَتِي. And you desecrated the lofty rank of our family. فَلَسْتُمْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. Your fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin, is telling you, Shias, you don't belong to this Ummah. You were the Jews, Christians and non-Muslims. It's your kitab, Ihtijaj. You sent it to me. So we got these kitabs, my brother. So don't try and pull the wool of unity and all that. Yeah. Shia Azam promotes prostitution. And remember, Shia Azam says sodomy or sodomy also is permissible with the wives. So they like backdoor business. Shias like backdoor business, brother. You want to speak? Speak with Dalil. Don't come with fairy tales. We don't fear anybody. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You can bring your lawyers. You can bring whoever you want. We don't scare of anybody. Next one. That Sayyida Fatima Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. She is Kubra and her daughter is Fatima Sughra. So she cursed you Shias. She's the daughter of Sayyidina Hussein. And she said, that tabbal lakum wa la'anatul alaykum. Allah's curse be upon you. Allah Ta'ala decimate, destroy you Shias. Why? Qataltum abi al-yawm kama qataltum jaddi bil-ams. Today you murdered my father Sayyidina Hussein as previously you murdered and martyred my grandfather. The Shias themselves admitted your kitab Ihtijaj by Tabarasi. Qatalna Aliyan wa Bani Aliyin bi suyufin hindiyatin wa rimahi. Yes, we murdered Sayyidina Ali. Yes, we murdered Sayyidina Hussein, the son of Ali radiallahu an. And we used the swords and the spears made from India. Brother Abul Hassan, go look all these references and then come back.
Allahu Akbar. I see what Bank says, well answered, Mufti Saab. I see the sister says, Mufti, mashallah. Abul Hassan al-Ali says, I will get back to you. We're not talking about Imam Hussein's matter. We're speaking about Muta. I've got a Shia friend. He's got daughters, but they don't believe in that. Ustad.
They don't believe in that for their daughters, but for themselves, they'll park wherever they get the parking. So you must remember that. I told you that before your question came. I said that the Shias will not do like it for their daughters, but they will promote it among, they will say, get married to the Sunni, and after 1 week, 2 weeks, then you just give her and tell her go. So Shiaism promotes prostitution, and Shias are kuffar 100%, and you quote my name wherever you want to.
Allahu Akbar, Takbir. Ustaz, on that message regarding Israel, there was a message that came this morning on As-Safina to Ilal Jannah that some Arab countries made peace with Israel. Could you please comment on this, Ustad?
I commented already Monday night, but no problem. You must remember Israel is an apartheid state. I said it now. For us, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah and true Muslims, Shias, our worst enemy and 100% kuffar. And the worst enemy for Muslims, Quran says, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Today, people say, no, that you must be very careful. Not the Jews, is the Zionists our enemy. The Quran don't say that. The Quran says the Jews are the enemy. Obviously, you will get some good Jews. We don't say no. Quran says, لَيْسُ سَوَاءَ. We speak about majority. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That surely you will find now and in the future, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ. For those people who possess Iman, that the Jews, Quran is saying Yahud, the Jews, they are your worst enemy. وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. And the Mushriks, you see what's happening there, the BJP, and you see in India, in Kashmir, and that the unholy alliance between Israel and India, and now the unholy alliance between the apartheid regime of Israel with the Arab regimes. So this also Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Hadith in Sahih Muslim, that what is there? Waylul lil Arab. Their destruction to the Arabs. So what is the meaning of this? The Arabs will go and do bootlicking of the Arabs, of the Americans, bootlicking of the Israelis. So you must remember, nobody can give them honor. Quran says, أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ. Are they seeking for honor by them, by the enemies of Islam? فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Izzat, honor is solely only by all Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. I give you two statistics. Remember that Trump knows he might lose the elections. So what he does, he gets these Arab countries and say, you guys better make peace. And then I will see you right with arms and ammunition and so forth. So he's using the Arab regimes as his bank. You keep on paying and I'll give you arms. You see? And second one, for him, Netanyahu, he's no more known as a prime minister of Israel. He's known as a crime minister. And majority Israelis are fed up with him. Did I say so? No. The Haaretz newspaper, I read it every day. So you must remember that they said that majority of Israelis have lost faith and confidence in him, in Netanyahu. So Netanyahu also needs a big story. So today he says, Assalamu alaikum. You know, yesterday, like a big shot, we say, Allah's curse is on you. So for murdering our Palestinians, for demolishing their homes and demolishing our masjids, remember that. That one settler, one bullet, that is what Islam teaches. So you must remember that. I am asking you a simple question. You come, you steal my house, you steal my property, and then you say, come, we negotiate the outbuilding. What will I do? I'll put a bullet in you. That's what I'll do. So you must remember this type of things. So you must remember, we went through apartheid, and your apartheid is worse than, you must remember, the apartheid of Israel. So you must, of South Africa, the Israeli apartheid. So you must remember, don't come and make us fools and so forth. So yes, you must remember the Arab governments, they are there, they are doing all this. It's their own humiliation, disgrace, but the people are totally against it. So you must remember this. And for the Israelis and the Jews, Allah Ta'ala has cursed them and punished them till the day of Qiyamah. Nobody can change this. All this is in Quran. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكَ. And your Allah has said that Allah will punish them إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, till the day of Qiyamah. مَنْ يَسُومُهُمْ سُوَ الْعَذَابِ. And see, this Friday, till the day of Qiyamah, they'll be punished. Whether it's Hitler, whether somebody else. We don't say what he did is right, but we say you will be punished because you are a rebellious nation. You went against the laws of Allah. You mock the laws of Allah. You use religion and make money out of it. So you must remember that. So what will happen? That this Friday in the apartheid regime of Israel is 3 weeks lockdown. No school, no nothing is going to go open there.
So you see, because he doesn't want more and more people coming by his house, Netanyahu, and to march and all this. Thousands of people are shouting, they resign, resign, resign. So remember, let me warn you. I know your spies, they listen to me. Don't think we're unaware of all this. Mashallah, I get very happy when the spies listen to me. You understand? Not only now, in CII also they used to listen to me. And they wrote us a letter. And they thought we will get intimidated. So we don't get intimidated, brother. We'll speak the facts. So you must remember that. So you, the spies of Israel and others who are sympathetic, listen carefully to what I'm saying. You see, you had a prime minister, Ariel Sharon. Ariel Sharon came to Aqsa with 1,000 army and police and so. And he said, who can prevent me? That's what he said. So who can stop? Nobody can stop me. It's our Israel. So Allah ki lati be awaze. Allah stick when it hits, so it don't make a noise. So when he fell sick, 8 years he stayed in Sakarat. Your biggest doctors, your biggest physicians, nobody could stop, could give him any cure. You brought from here and there, America, Israel, wherever. So nobody could cure. So I'm telling you, go to Aqsa and try your stunts and see what Allah does with you. You must remember that. You know what happened to Abraha. You know what happened to the elephants. So you go and try what you want to do with Aqsa and see what Allah does with you. Because Allah has said in the Quran that Allah is going to continue punish you till the day of Qiyamah because of your treachery and because of your disobedience to Allah. ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ So this is punishment because of rebelliousness. And you must remember to you that who though you say peace, peace, how can you have peace when there's no Palestinian there? So you must remember that. Who are you fooling? So remember this. Many Israelis and Jews, they're against all this. But they are outvoted by the politicians and what have you. So you must remember that. So we also want peace, but peace based on justice. And that is our message to all. Whether it is the Shias who are kuffar and promoting prostitution, or whether it is the apartheid regime with their Nazi tactics. So you must remember, there will be no peace when there's no justice. You can ask the white regime of South Africa. They would use the K word against the Africans. They would use the K word against us as well. For us, they used to call us coolies. I can't forget all this. So how many times I was called a coolie? So you must remember all by the whites. So you must remember that, so you know what you are calling the Arabs there and so forth, because you cooked up the Bible and the Torah, and that you said you are the selected people and the chosen people, and everybody else is goyim, and everybody else is Gentile, and everybody else is second class, third class. Well, that second class, third class people are coming and they're going to defeat you. And remember, we will take over Aqsa. Ameen. We will take over Palestine. Ameen. You know why? Because it is in the Quran, chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, verse 7. And then your pride, no Trump, no Bush, no United Nations, nobody can help you when Allah's punishment comes on you. Your forefathers, when they played with the Sharia, with the law of the Torah, Allah made them into swines and Allah made them into monkeys. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرُ So that is Quran, my brother. We need not apologize to anybody. We are telling you what is in the Quran, what is going to happen. And remember, you try all your tricks. So these are all games you're playing to win the elections. Trump that side, you know how much he lies. And then the other side, Netanyahu, and use the Arabs. Arab thinks they'll get security with you. So you must remember, I leave you with this one statement Kissinger made. You know Kissinger, what he said? Kissinger said, America does not have friends. America has interest. We use people, and when we use them, finish, then we just just drop them.
Subhanallah.
You go read about Shah, you go read about the Egyptian leaders, you go read about Arab leaders, go read about everyone. They use them, and when they use the things like a condom, after using it, they throw it away. They will throw them away and say, finish, your oil is finished, your money is finished, go to hell, we got nothing to do with it. That is what they will do with you.
A minute left to 12 o'clock, I see the listener says, once is kya baat hai, once is takbir, somebody say ba. Maybe that man in the Shia. The listener says, don't these brothers know that Shias believe they get rewarded for speaking lies? Our people should stop befriending them. Well answered, Mufti Sahab. Sister from Stanger, I wish Mufti Sahab will visit my town, inshallah. I see brother Abul Hassan Al-Ali says, we're listening to you. Ustad, your final comment.
Abul Hassan, you listen to me and tell all the Shias to listen to me and tell them to stop propagating prostitution. And remember, stop getting the lawyers to write to us. They don't intimidate us. We'll take everybody on. You understand? We'll take you on. So you must remember this. Israel is an apartheid regime. And Shia Azam promote prostitution. 12 o'clock is the news and 12 to 1 is Alphas and 1 o'clock is Azan. 5:01 to 1:30 is tafsir, and that will be Surah Ahzab, inshallah. And today we discuss, you must remember, where the verses till 48, inshallah, from 43 to 48, inshallah. And thereafter will be 1:30 to 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 104, inshallah, we start with. And thereafter, 2 to 3, Sheikh Zakaria, 3 to 1:30 will be, inshallah, the repeat of this morning's program. 3:30 to 5:30, Amin Templeton, inshallah. 5:30 to 7, inshallah, will be our Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of today's tafsir. And 7:30 to 8 will be, inshallah, Mohyudus Patel. 8 to 10, our brother Shafat Ahmad Khan. Today, the doctor he got is the ENT, our brother Dr. Dular Khan, Zubair Dular Khan from Cape Town. And 9 to 10, they got the program, inshallah. So you listen to all these wonderful programs. Allah Ta'ala protect the Haramain Sharifain and Masjidul Aqsa. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I love you, Ustad. I love you. Well, let's go for the 12 o'clock news. We will be seeing you guys next week, Tuesday, on the Bliss of Marriage. Up next, the 12 o'clock news.